Chapter 6. Korolos knew that true death was coming down the conveyor shaft, and he welcomed it like a friend he thought had long abandoned him. There was nothing to be feared in death. Only failure in life was to be feared. This he had learnt by bitter experience. Once, his helm had borne the transverse centurion crest of an officer, but no more. He had been marked for greatness, serving first as the champion of the 178th Company, then rising through the officer ranks. Pride had been his downfall. Now his helm was red with the mark of censure, the mark of his shame. He had woken after Cenosia IV to find it had been removed, a cobalt blue helm fixed in its place, but he had been insistent.
"Your time of penance is past, old friend,"
Chaptermaster Lavinius had said. This was before young Acus Decimus had risen to the post.
"You carried that burden long enough, too long. That fault is mine, and for that I'm sorry. You've suffered enough."
He would have none of it. His honour was forever stained, he said. He could not let it go. The red helm ensured that his dishonour was externalized, plain for all to see, and he would not hear of putting it aside while he still felt the burning shame that ate away at him. That could only be achieved in death. In the end, they had relented. He had yearned for this release for more than a century. He could never right the wrongs that he had wrought. He could never bring back the lives of battle brothers lost through his arrogance and hubris. But perhaps in death he could go some way towards atoning for those mistakes. All his friends and comrades were dead. All those proud Ultramarians that he had trained with in the academies of Armatura. All those who had been at his side as the Great Crusade pushed out beyond the edges of the map, expanding the domain of the Imperium. All his closest brothers, those he had laughed with, bled with, and killed with, all of them were as dust, gone, but not forgotten, at least not by him. Even the tough old war dog, Chaptermaster Lavinius, was dead and gone, his ashes entombed in the halls of Macragge, placed within a bronze urn at the feet of a seated statue of his likeness. Only he was left. He was not alone, not in a literal sense. The handful of legionaries around him, waiting with weapons trained upon the conveyor carriage doors, bore the same chapter livery that bedecked his own armoured form. But he felt little true kinship with them. He had been old by the time they were inducted into the 13th Legion, a relic of the Terran past. They paid him considerable respect. They knew of his battles and triumphs, though he never spoke of them, and they bowed their heads when he walked the decks of the Legion's warships. But that only served to emphasize the gulf that existed between them. They revered him, but in doing so elevated him beyond themselves. There was no true brotherhood between them. How could there be? They could not relate to him any more than he could to them. The carriage reached the bottom of the shaft, and he clenched his immense powered fists, the servos and gears growling. A sheen of energy flickered over his colossal armoured knuckles, and electricity danced between his tapering fingers. He crouched, ready to attack. Pistons groaned, gears turned, locking devices lifted. It was time to kill. And then, finally, it would be time to die. The conveyor doors opened. Smoke filled the interior of the carriage, concealing the word-bearers from sight. Sor Talgron heard the metallic clink of grenades as they were hurled into the enclosed space, just as he had expected.
"Lock!"
he roared, and the siege squad responded instantly. As one, moving in perfectly drilled unison, they dropped to one knee, planting their shields in front of them. They were in close formation, their shields locked, forming a solid barrier. Those in the second rank lifted their shields high, protecting from above, and those on the flanks turned their shields outwards. They butted up against the back of the conveyor carriage, using the reinforced plasteel wall to protect their rear, forming a nigh-on impenetrable shell. On ancient Terra, that formation had been utilized by warriors armed only with spear and blade, but it proved equally effective here. The grenades exploded, filling the space with fire and shrapnel, but the armored shell held, protecting the legionaries within.
"Shroud!"
ordered Saur Talgron, and every second shield in the front line was lifted long enough for blind grenades to be rolled out beneath them, bouncing and skittering into the chamber beyond. Then the shield slammed down again, echoing loudly. The first bursts of gunfire cut through the smoke, impacting on the inside of the carriage and striking the reinforced shield wall. Las fire, for the most part, a few bolters. A smattering of solid high-velocity shells struck Saur Talgron's own shield, battering against it like a jackhammer, and he was pushed back a step, even as he braced against it, feet sliding beneath him. The shield held, and he edged back into line, keeping the wall unbroken.
"Forward!"
he barked, and the formation began to advance. They moved slowly, one crunching step at a time, and they began to return fire, bolters resting on the edge of the gun ports cut into their upper rims. They directed their shots where tracer fire gave away the enemy's positions. While they were firing blind, the choking smoke obscuring their vision as much as their foes, their fire was not intended to kill, rather to suppress. The word-bearer to Saur Talgron's right went down, a lucky shot taking him in the head, but the gap was filled instantly, another legionary stepping forward to take his place. The captain felt a precision round scream overhead, coming from behind him, and one of the enemy warriors fell dead. Loth and his recon squad had joined the fray. They had ridden down atop the conveyor, slipping through the top hatch only once the siege squad had pushed out into the chamber beyond. The smoke was beginning to clear. Unaugmented humans, around a score of them, garbed in black and wearing full-faced rebreathers, could be vaguely discerned in front and to either side, kneeling behind hastily reinforced barricades. Saw Talgron's auto-senses locked onto three enemy legionaries amongst them. These three wore red helms rather than the usual cobalt blue. An honor rank, most likely, denoting them as veterans or perhaps a bodyguard unit. Of more concern were a pair of servitor-controlled turrets rotating towards them, power couplings humming and shuddering with energy as they came online.
"Loth," said Saur Talgron.
"I see them,"
replied the recon sergeant, and the skull of one of the hardwired servitor controllers disappeared, exploding into wet fragments. The other locked on to the advancing legionaries, however, and armoured plates like the petals of a flower unfurled around the servitor. Its turret barrels lit up and fired as one. There was a blinding flash and a roar of superheated air, and four incandescent beams tore through the dissipating smoke. Three word-bearers were bisected. The refractor fields in their shields were useless against such energy. One of Loth's squad fell too, his left leg neatly severed below the hip as the beams passed right through the shield wall. Another two word-bearers were cut down by combined bolter and lasfire before the gaps in the shield wall were closed. They were only halfway across the hazy kill zone, and the sentry laser array was humming loudly as it powered up to fire again. Saur Talgron was about to call for the formation to advance double pace, taking them into blade range, when a huge shape loomed out of the smoke, coming at them at a run.
"For Ultramar!"
it bellowed. The sound of its pounding footfalls made the entire metal concourse shudder.
"Break!"
roared Saur Talgron.
"Break!"